may bring honor to the name of Jesus. This we pray, Lord, in your name. Amen. All right. How can I know for sure? I'm sure is the question that you probably have asked on several occasions. And in asking that question, we're looking either for clarity, but mostly for certainty, isn't it? How can I know for sure? We often say, to be sure, to be sure. So, and the outside, it looks, when I put it up there, it seems like an innocent question, doesn't it? How can I know for sure? But this question landed a man in a heap of trouble. So much so that the last words that he was allowed to speak, these were the last words that he was allowed to speak for an extended period of time. How can I know for sure? So he asked the question, what was so wrong with this that it ended in this way for him? Well, before we look at the passage, there's a principle in Scripture that Jesus brought out very clearly in the Gospels, and it says this: from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know what's in people's hearts? Listen to what they say. So what is actually coming out verbally gives you a very good handle of what's really happening internally. So that's what's really important. So the words that came out of mouths, well, they come out of our mouths, obviously, they reveal what's in our hearts. So how can I know for sure revealed what was in the heart of this man? Remember the principle? What comes out reveals what is already inside. The man, of course, was called, if you haven't already figured out, Zechariah. And so what did it reveal in Zechariah? How can I be sure? According to the angel Gabriel, it revealed unbelief. That were his words, not mine. How can I be sure? Title of my talk, Deeply Religious, but Highly Skeptical. I think I might have spelled that wrong. If I have, it doesn't make any difference. Okay, I got it right. Deeply religious, but highly skeptical. That's our man, Zechariah. His story, there's a big long passage about him, actually, but the passage that we want to look at is in Luke chapter 1. Begins before verse 12, but for the sake of time, I thought we'd begin there. This incident that ended up him being silenced happened in the temple. He was a priest. And as things would have it, indeed, if you look at verse 12, if you have your Bible over there, whether it's by phone, whatever it is, verse 11 begins, it says, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar. So Zechariah was in the temple and he was there actually burning incense before the Lord. This is where this took place. You couldn't have got a more holier place of where the presence of God was than in this occasion. So the incident really took place in the most remarkable way. And he was told amazing things. For instance, first of all, verse 12, when Zechariah saw the angel, of course, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. No, the next part is really important. Because he says after that is, your prayer has been heard. This was an answer to prayer. Admittedly, it was an awful long time coming. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. Now, everything so far, so good, right? There is no difficulty here yet, apart from Zechariah being rattled by seeing an angel and being told up front that this prayer, obviously they prayed many, many years ago, is now about to be answered. So what can be so wrong with, how can I be sure of this? Maybe I have the right slide there. From the overflow of the heart, I've put that in there. I'll move on to the next one. Zechariah is told several things about this boy. Those who have parents and they look at their babies, you know, and, you know, relatives, extended family, they all say, I wonder, what will he become? When he grows up, what will he be like and what will he become? And none of us actually know, of course. It's kind of having to wait and see as the child grows up and see what their interest lies and all that. However, in verse 14, Zechariah is being told something that most parents never know. And in verse 14, he's talking about the son. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many people will rejoice because of his birth. So the first word happening there is, this baby that's going to be born is going to bring great joy, both to Elizabeth and John, but to many others as well. Now we're off to a good start there, would you think so? Verse 15 says, again, this is all about John. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or any other fermented drink. So great in the sight of the Lord. How good is that for a priest inside in the temple, burning incense on that day, to be guaranteed, not alone will he have a son, that will be a delight to him and to many others, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. None of us have ever got that. Now that is tremendous stuff. I think you agree, right? We're still in verse 15a. And then, 16, I suppose, or what's next after that? He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that is a remarkable promise. Very few people were filled with the Holy Spirit at that time. So it's a most unusual thing to have the Spirit of God resting upon you from the very start. And he's told this remarkable thing. So he'll be a joy. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 16, many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord. So he's going to have a deep impact with people, and it's going to cause, obviously, stir revival. You can't get any better than that. You cannot get any better than that. And then verse 17, and he will go up before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers towards the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteousness, and to make a people ready, to make a people prepared for the Lord. Remarkable. This is going to be a ministry and a man that is going to have a profound impact, deeply spiritually. Tremendous power of the Spirit on him, and he is going to turn an awful lot of people in the nation of Israel back towards the Lord. So he's going to restore and repair relationships, but also it's all in preparation for Jesus coming. He got all of that, and his reply is in verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure of this? After being told all of that, I am an old man, my wife is well along in years. Deeply religious, but highly skeptical. Right in the middle of the temple. Only that is put in front of us, we'd struggle to believe it. You see, Zechariah was deeply religious, but he was also highly skeptical. In other words, let me tell you the problem was, if it doesn't make sense, there's no way I'm going to believe it. Or if it sounds too good to be true, then most likely it is not true. First lesson we learn, you can be deeply religious and highly skeptical. Many, many people are in churches today, well, there's not many, but what's there can be deeply religious. And they can have tremendous faith, But if something hits them or comes against them that defies natural logic, even though it can be the work of God, it is ruled out because it doesn't meet their criteria. Deeply skeptical, or deeply religious, but highly skeptical. How can I know for sure? Seemed like an innocent question when you asked it before I gave you the context. Now you see, it is, he is looking for something beyond what he has already been given. And what he has been given has been absolutely phenomenal. The message puts it this way. Do you expect me to believe this? I am an old man and my wife is an old woman. Though the first words out of the angel Gabriel was, do not be afraid. Second words out of this, we're coming to answer your prayer. And when he got the answer, the best he could come up with was, how can I be sure? Deeply religious, but highly skeptical. So much of that is present, and so much of that is acceptable. If it doesn't sound right, there is no way I'm going to believe it. And sometimes some things are not right and it requires discernment. But an awful lot of people are skeptical, and it could be masking as unbelief. Anyway, we'll move on. That's what he said to the angel. How can I know for sure? Then the angel answered him. Two words will describe what heaven thinks of Zechariah's, how can I be sure? And two words, disapproval and discipline. The disapproval comes in verse 19. The angel answered, I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Now, that's disapproval. I put in a nice word there. But look, he's been told off fairly severely. What's my point? When we don't believe what the Lord is saying, there is disapproval. How many of us, if we're telling the truth and people don't believe us, how many of us think that's a great thing? You feel inside when you're doing something that's the truth and people don't believe it or believe you. It impacts you. Well, this got heaven's attention straight away. And Zechariah, though deeply religious, highly skeptical, and in the middle of doing his priestly work, is now being told off, we're now in trouble. I've been sent. I'm Gabriel and I stand. You can't get any better than standing in the presence of God. That's as much clarity and proof that you'll ever need. It's very interesting. Joseph only had a dream, and he was willing to go with it. Mary was told how Jesus would be conceived in her womb, and it made no logical sense at all, but she said, let it be in accordance to your word. Zechariah is asked to just believe that his prayer has been answered. How can I be sure? So disapproval was one. And of course, the next one is discipline. And this is at verse 20. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. What was Zechariah's problem? In a word, I didn't realize I put a help there. The word obviously is unbelief. Unbelief. Isn't it shocking, isn't it? We wouldn't have considered that unbelief, but the Lord did. And Zechariah is now being disciplined, and the discipline is he has this tremendous news that he can't speak. And he has literally to keep his mouth shut. Actually, his mouth is shut until this event happens. Deeply religious, but highly skeptical. Observations. I have two. There are many Zacharias within the Christian community. You see, they're Orthodox. doctrinally sound, fully committed, but highly skeptical. They're often heard saying this: there is no way you're going to get me to believe that, because it makes no logical sense. It sounds reasonable. It sounds even informed. But it can be, and it often is. All it's doing is it is masking unbelief. The problem with Zacharias is when you need divine intervention at the highest level, they don't believe even that can happen. You'll hear words like, God doesn't do that kind of thing anymore. And it sounds reasonable, and they can pull proof out. The problem is, when you do need something, or where you desperately need the Lord and the breakthrough, the Zacharias have very little to offer you, because everything is at a logical level. I was chatting with somebody recently, a while ago now, and I was describing an event. And how we were ended up in India. But anyway, and I described just one, just different areas, described one area and said, oh no, that makes no sense at all. I stopped. I said, I'm going no further. Deeply religious, but highly skeptical. You know, I had never seen that before in this passage. I don't know if you had seen it like this. Though I have spoken on it several times. Another observation about Zacharias is that they're held in high esteem within the Christian community. And their viewpoint is often seen, and most often seen as, doctrinally sound, and their viewpoint is highly valued. But they do have problems, major problems. If it sounds too good to be true, or it doesn't make logical sense, or it doesn't fit their theology or that grid that they have, then most likely what they're going to say is, it cannot be true. But in saying that, it can simply be nothing but unbelief, if God is in it. Two observations. I'm amazed with how many Zacharias I have met. Let me give you an example. One time, I've given this before, but one time down in Avoca, when Josiah was playing, a young boy at the time, a good friend of his, and something happened anyway, and he got a belt of a stone in his eye. And, you know, it was blurred and all of that. And so it wasn't getting any better after an hour and a half. And so we rang Finola's father, a man that could hear from God. And he definitely prayed. And long story short, he came back and said, right hand over left eye, and command in the name of Jesus to be opened 3 times. And on the third time, he will see perfectly. Bring nobody in who has any unbelief. Let no unbelief enter the room. So we did that, and on the third time, this only happened once, right? On the third time, Josiah just sprang up at the chair and said, I can see perfectly, and gone back out to play. A woman kept after Jesus and said, I think your reactions or your response were quite reckless. I said, what do you mean? You should have brought him straight to Lachlan's town. I said, he'd been sitting in a chair for 12 hours. Because the thing, you know, there was under such pressure at that time in that place. Better to bring him to the great physician himself. And I discovered that day, this person was deeply religious, but highly skeptical. Can you see? If it doesn't make sense, and like Jesus may have done that, but he doesn't do that kind of thing anymore, you're in trouble. The next time he did get sick, we had to bring him to the hospital. You know, he got a very bad chest infection, and he was in there for 2 days. They had trouble trying to discharge him because he was having such a great time, but that's another story. So, you know what I mean? There's balance there. many things happened to us down through the years, and it was a period in this time, in this church, of where God did move. And as a Christian, the other said to me one thing, he says, Pat, stuff has happened in New Life that we only have read about in books. But he was shocked when I told him, for the most part, people were highly skeptical of it. And many people left as a result. Deeply religious, but highly skeptical. And what that revealed, in many ways, it was too much for them, but ultimately, there was a measure of unbelief there. Because that's what the angel called it. Because you did not believe, the sin was unbelief. Two observations. I think that's a fair observation, and you'll meet that. I'm not knocking other people, I'm just saying this. You will meet it. And then anything that's happening at the highest level you can get, if you know what I mean, of God intervening, will not be believed or will not be could be misunderstood and will not move with it anyway. Only the Lord knows how much discipline has occurred down through the years because we did not believe and how many things were actually missed. You know, because people say, it doesn't make any difference. It made a huge difference. We don't know how long Zechariah was unable to speak. It could have been several months. It could have been for the whole 9 months. Mind you, next time he opens his mouth, it's a tremendous song of praise, but we won't get that today. So what's my point? Well, you know what Zechariah's come from. If it sounds too good to be true, then most likely it's not. But it can be. And if it can be, it is worth believing. Most people operate as, I won't take the chance just in case I get it wrong. Whereas in many ways you could say is, I'll take the chance. If I get it wrong, I'll be up here like a shot to say so. It's remarkable a man can be in the temple, profoundly religious, very dedicated, all of that, hit with truth between the eyes, and yet his response revealed unbelief. How can I be sure? Very important when you're talking to people, you listen to the words that they say because it will reveal what's in their heart. Anyway, applications. Well, I've been giving you lots of down the thing, but I wanted, if we could talk to Zechariah, and eventually, of course, we will meet him in heaven, he'll be talking to us then. And I say, I'm sure he'll say, I hope you have learned from me. Because he gives us two important, lessons in life. The first one is simply this. It's best to take God at his word and keep your mouth shut. Very hard thing to do, and Zechariah actually failed this test himself. But his advice is, you take God at his word and you keep your mouth shut. Because once you open it, you will reveal what's inside. And your response will reveal what's inside. That's the first thing. Why is that important? Second principle that he would give us is simply this. It's better to keep your mouth shut than rather than open your mouth and have him shut it for you. Because that is precisely what happened to Zechariah. He opened his mouth and God shut it. Deeply religious, but highly skeptical. Often, behind that skepticism, behind that caution, can be fear, but it also can be unbelief. But it's never ever called unbelief. And it's tolerated at a very high level. And it's very common. We wouldn't have known that this had taken place or this would be in the heart of Zechariah, only that is recorded here. Years down the road, when Jesus was ministering, he met deeply religious people. And he met the very same thing. Highly skeptical. In actual fact, their main problem was a problem of unbelief. You can be inside in the church, and many people have been. Profoundly committed, deeply religious, all of that. And still highly skeptical. Anything that moves outside their comfort zone, their view of thinking, their theological grade, can't be right. And we dismiss it. And we end up, or where sometimes the Lord even stops speaking to us because there's no point. Or worse again, we can get it wrong and he can shut our mouth and that will keep us quiet for a good length of time. That is what the Lord gave me. Who it's for, I don't know. Maybe there's something there for all of us. Lord, we commit this to you. Lord, we understand Zechariah. Of course we do. Because we have a framework in how we think you should work. And we're influenced by those who have gone before us. And Lord, their theological grid. So when you move outside that, Lord, we have to admit that we can be skeptical every bit as much as Zechariah. And Lord, if we go to Zechariah's, Lord, it can add to the skepticism. Our prayer, Lord, is we would learn to hear from you better than we can. Lord, that we would believe in all our hearts that you can do whatever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want, and you are not limited in any way by man's theological grid. We may miss a blessing, but Lord, it does not limit you, that you're above and beyond all of that. God forbid, Lord, it would be said of us that we were deeply religious, but highly skeptical, and we ended up missing the blessings that were for us, because, Lord, it did not come in the way we expected. Lord, as we prepare for Christmas, Lord, it fits in so well with that story. The Lord came in a way that people weren't expecting. It fitted no grid of theirs. And as a result, Lord, many people even dismissed it. And those who were aware of it, Lord, were highly skeptical, apart from a few faithful witnesses. Lord, may you reveal in our hearts what is actually in there. And maybe, Lord, we listen to our own words and we have an idea of what actually is in there, whether it is faith or unbelief. This, Jesus, we ask in your name. Amen.